I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 18, we read of the responsibility of priests, Levites, as it relates to the work of the tabernacle. I want us to think and remember that every time we read a section in the Old Testament about the rules regarding cleanliness, the ceremonial law, Levitical law, especially those pertaining to the men themselves, that God is not only providing a service, a necessary service to Israel, that they may know forgiveness, atonement, salvation, but that God is directing His people how they are to think of the coming Messiah. These two things are essential. In fact, I'll give you a little Cliff's Notes hermeneutics lesson. I had a wonderful professor in seminary named Bob Kara. Hopefully, I should say Dr. Kara. I'm not his equal. He's, I think, preached for us a couple of times in the past. He would say, as you're seeking to interpret Scripture, it is right to remember that we lie on the other side of the cross from those Old Testament saints to whom we are bound by covenant. And then when we take the Old Testament, we ought to read the Old Testament with those lenses of Christ's completed work upon the cross. Not just seeing how He is the fulfillment of those things, but looking at what God is preparing the people, His people, for as they stand upon the promise of a future Messiah. I think that may not sound super exciting to you, but I tell you, it will change the way you read the Scriptures to know that God has a single covenantal plan of redemption that exalts the Son on every page. Numbers 18, beginning in verse 1. So the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear iniquity connected with the sanctuary. And you and your sons with you shall bear iniquity connected with your priesthood. And with you bring your brothers also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may join you and minister to you while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony. They shall keep guard over you and over the whole tent, but shall not come near to the vessels of the sanctuary or to the altar, lest they and you die. They shall join you and keep guard over the tent of meeting for all the service of the tent, and no outsider shall come near you, and you shall keep guard over the sanctuary and over all the altar, that there may never again be wrath on the people of Israel. And behold, I have taken your brothers, the Levites, from among the people of Israel. They are a gift to you, given to the Lord to do the service of the tent of meeting. And you and your sons with you shall guard your priesthood for all that concerns the altar, and that is within the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood as a gift, and an outsider who comes near shall be put to death." Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, "Behold, I have given you charge of the contributions made to me. All the consecrated things of the people of Israel, I have given them to you as a portion and to your sons as a perpetual due. This shall be yours of the most holy things, reserved from the fire every offering of theirs, every grain offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every guilt offering of theirs, which they render to me shall be most holy to you and to your sons. In a most holy place shall you eat it. Every male shall eat it. It is holy to you. This also is yours, the contribution of their gift. All the wave offerings of the people of Israel, I have given them to you and to your sons and daughters with you as a perpetual due. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the grain. The first fruits of what they give to the Lord, I give to you. The first ripe fruits of all that is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house shall eat it, or may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that opens the womb of all flesh, whether man or beast, which they offer to the Lord, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. In their redemption price at a month old you shall redeem them. You shall fix at 5 shekels in silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of a cow, or the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and shall burn their fat as a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But their flesh shall be yours as the breast that is waved and as the right thigh are yours. All the holy contributions that the people of Israel present to the Lord I give to you and to your sons and daughters with you as a perpetual due. It is a covenant of salt before the Lord for you and for your offspring with you. And the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel. To the Levites I have given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance. In return for their service that they do, their service is in the tent of meeting, so that the people of Israel do not come near the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and among the people of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the people of Israel, which they present as a contribution to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said of them that they shall have no inheritance among the people of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, moreover, you shall speak and say to the Levites, when you take from the people of Israel the tithe that I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present a contribution from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. And your contribution shall be counted to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. So you shall also present a contribution to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the people of Israel. And from it you shall give the Lord's contribution to Aaron the priest. Out of all the gifts to you, you shall present every contribution due to the Lord. From each its best part is to be dedicated. Therefore you shall say to them, when you have offered from it the best of it, then the rest shall be counted to the Levites as produce of the threshing floor and as produce of the winepress. And you may eat it in any place, you and your households, for it is your reward in return for your service in the tent of meeting, and you shall bear no sin by reason of it when you have contributed the best of it. But you shall not profane the holy things of the people of Israel, lest you die. Thus far the reading of God's word, let me pray now for the blessing of the preaching of it. Lord, we open our hearts to you tonight that you might teach us glorious things written in your word. O Lord, may our hearts be open to your instruction, our minds soft. We ask even now, Lord, that you would speak, even as your servants are listening. In Christ's name, amen. It is essential, in response to the rebellion of Korah and the murmuring of Israel, after they were prevented by God from entering into the land which they rejected in the first place, that God established with them and to remind them they are going to the land of promise. These are laws regarding what Israel is to do when they get to the land. Not only as they wander, but when they get to the land. These laws govern what Israel will look like when they have reached or they have been given the full consummation of the promise of dwelling in the land of Canaan. God has every intention to keep his word. And even though he punished Israel, purged them, purify them even by judgment, by fire, he will deliver them. He will do as he has promised. And even as he does, he is teaching Israel essential principles as it relates to the priesthood. With Korah, the Lord taught Israel, not everyone can be a priest. Even though Israel is a nation of priests, it is only because of the work of a specially called man, gifted and graced by God, who enters into his presence, who makes atonement for the sins of God's people, that anyone in the nation of Israel can be called holy. And even as God calls Israel a nation of priests, there is a past, present for them, past for us, aspect of the fulfillment of that promise that Israel is set apart. They are welcomed in his presence, but only through the blood of rams and goats and the work of a man called and gifted by God's grace. Numbers chapter 17 teaches us that it is purely based upon God's sovereign choice. And the priest whom he chooses is revealed by miraculous life from the dead. 18. Chapter 18 of the book of Leviticus speaks of the guarding, receiving, and giving responsibilities of the priests in the house of God as He is preparing Israel to receive one day their Redeemer. He begins by encouraging Israel that not all who come to the house shall die, but from the house of God itself, life will come. 3 points that I want to make as it relates to our text this evening. The first, not all who come shall die. Not all who come shall die. Secondly, guarding and giving. Guarding and giving. And then thirdly, a little bit longer, our primary protector who presents us to the Father. I think if I wanted to do an alliteration, I could have used the Latin word for father, pater, right? Is that right? So maybe if you want to use a little Latin, you can have a nice little alliteration. Let's look at the first point. Not all who come shall die. At the end of Numbers chapter 17, when God miraculously reveals to Israel Levi, or the tribe of Levi, and Aaron in particular, is His chosen priest, and from Aaron's direct line, the high priest of Israel will come, testified to by the budding of the staff, and not just the flowers, but a ripe almond. Several months of growth in the span of a night, and that from a dead stick, a dead staff. In the end of chapter 17, this is what the people say. Behold, we perish, we are undone. We are all undone. Everyone who comes near to the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Are we all to perish? They even still did not understand. For one, not all who come shall die. Exaggerations are lies. They are self-deceptions. And this is what Israel does here. Everyone who comes near to the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Yet what has God proven to Israel already? There is one whose death is reversed. In fact, there is one who in the presence of God thrives and has life. And that is the one who is the priest. The priest is the one chosen by God to bring life in His presence, not death. This is a cry of desperation that we see at the end of chapter 17. Israel is mourning. They are complaining still that there is no possibility of dwelling in the presence of God. The reason why Israel is doing this is because God is not revealing Himself as they want, but He's doing so on His terms. Remember in Exodus chapter 19, maybe you do, when God led Israel to Sinai in the very beginning, He told Moses to go up on the mountain, but He kept Israel at arm's length. And it's not because God does not desire to bring Israel up upon the mountain, but because they cannot, lest they die. Because the mountain was holy, because God dwelt in the mountain. That was His house. Kids, have you ever gone in your house? Maybe you have a rule. You got to take off your shoes. You go in, your feet are muddy. Upon pain of death, take your shoes off before you come in the house. The filth of Israel's sin keeps them at a distance from God. And the clear line of delineation was, this is the tabernacle. Only the Levites come so close and the priests even closer. And even then, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. This distance is not due to the fact that God is an introvert, but because God is holy and we are not. And God was delivering Israel from death. It's mercy. It's mercy. It's mercy because all of the revelation that God has given to Israel and will continue to give to Israel is within the theme of how God is going to bring all of Israel closer to Him. But not yet. And that's where Israel complains, because they don't like the way God is doing the thing they want Him to do, which is the story of man's rebellion against God. I don't like the way you're doing it, God. And in response to their cry of desperation, there is a yes and there is a no. When Israel says, "Are we all to perish?" there is a yes and there is a no. There is a nuanced response to this. The yes is, apart from what I'm doing, yeah, you're all going to die. If it were not up to me, if it were totally up to you, yes, you would perish in your sins. In fact, you would have never left Egypt. You would still be enslaved to the people of Egypt. The seed of the serpent would be triumphing over the seed of the woman. But because God is gracious, He also answers that question, no. And we need to see the paradox of the religion of the Bible. All men perish in their sins and unbelief, except God chose to rescue us. Are we all to perish? Well, we would, except for the mercy of God. God has developed, instituted, and communicated a way for men to appear before Him through the work of a chosen and equipped priest, the altar, the sacrifices that stand between a holy God and a chosen yet sinful people, whose only hope to appear before God is to have their presence mediated by a chosen priest. And this mediation was on God's terms, and they were beholden to Him, not He to them. And so, when Isaiah cries out before the Lord, "Woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." And yet there is Isaiah in the presence of a holy God. Isaiah understands his own sinfulness, yet also confesses in the same breath the mercy of God, that he might dwell in His presence and not be put to death. We don't need to move on past this truth in our Christian lives. All good that we have, all grace that we have received, is a gift, not of our own doing, but God's. And the reason why it's possible for Israel to be wrong in chapter 17, verse 13, is because God will call upon the priests to bear the judgment of His people, so that He may not have to do what He did in chapter 17 again. He is unfolding again in God His beautiful word, another element, another aspect to the ministry of the priesthood on behalf of His chosen people. They will be intercessors. They will bear the iniquity of the people of God. And then we get to ask this question, you still want to be a priest? You sure? Are you sure that's what you want, Korah? The Korah in the Bible, I'm not talking to you, Korah. And she looked like, why is he talking to me? Are there any of you mentioned in the Bible? Let me think. I'm going to try to find your names. K-O-R-A-H. That's what Korah wanted. He wanted to be before God without Aaron. And of course, there was only death. There was judgment. Because no man can stand before God and live. Not even Aaron. Not even Aaron. Not all who come shall die. Because God will provide through the priesthood a means by which Israel may dwell in His presence. Second point. Guarding and giving. And so what God establishes is a regiment, a call for the Levites and the priests to guard the holy things of God, so that the people might not draw near and God's wrath break out against them. It's like the fence around the mountain in Exodus chapter 19. Israel had maybe grown a little bit accustomed to living with God. We do this. You know, you buy a brand new car, and for weeks, mom or dad say, "No drinks, no food, feet on the floor." 2 years later, it's like someone just had a meal in there. The rules begin to lax as the newness wears off. The holiness of God was not often revered by the people. And many of the people, like Korah in chapter 17, forgot or perhaps never even knew or took seriously the distinction between a holy God and a sinful people. And the reason why the priests are there, God says, is to protect them from me. I need you to stand as mediators, as guards over my house, so that no one may come into my presence apart from my prescribed means. This may sound a little strange. I mean, what about kids? They'd run everywhere. Can you imagine being the parents? You don't know where your kid is. You're standing next to a sawmill or next to the edge of a cliff, and you turn around and there they are getting ready to approach danger. What you need is someone there watching, protecting them. Even as the laws of physics would say, if a kid goes over the cliff, they're going to fall, the laws of God's holiness dictate that no sinner can dwell in his presence apart from mediation. They must be holy as he is holy. Yet no one is like this in all of Israel. And so it was a necessary ministry of the priests and the Levites to go, nope, you're going to go right there. Nope, you're getting too close. Directing traffic. And it's not because God, again, did not wish to dwell with his people, but because the presence of God had to be mediated in such a way that his holiness does not break out against their unholiness. They're called to guard the house in verses 1 through 7. Verse 7, and you and your sons with you shall guard your priesthood for all that concerns the altar, and that is within the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood as a gift, and any outsider who comes near shall be put to death. That's the gift. Stop. If you come any closer, you will die. Stop. And not just a call to guard, but a call to give. The ministry of the priests, their responsibilities, was supported by the tithe. The tithe was that tenth or thereabouts, 10%, that every Israelite would bring to the house of God from their produce, from their labors. All of these things they would bring into the house in order to support the work of the priests. That's why the tithe was given. Not just a first fruits offering to God because he's the one who's given them everything, but the way in which the tithe directly blessed Israel and the Levites was that he got to eat it. Israel fed the Levites. And even from what the Levites got, they gave a tenth. A tenth of a tenth. The Levites gave. And because the Levites were attached to the house of God, and they received from Israel their wage, as it were, reward, as one commentator says, for all of their labors, they were to also, like all of the other tribes, give a tenth of what was given to them. Their income was from the other tribes. Their livelihood was tied to Israel's giving. For the transportation of the holy things, the service of offering sacrifices in the tent of meeting, and most particularly, they're taking upon themselves the risks associated with ministry in the house of God. Even now, the Lord holds ministers accountable for what happens with the saints. I wish they'd told me this in seminary. I think I'd be a postman. There is a certain level of responsibility the priests have to make sure the people are guarded. And if they don't do their job, guess who bears the iniquity? The priest. How is that not gracious? Now, it isn't great for the priest, but think of what the priest also gets. They get to dwell in the house of God, and they get to say of their future this in verse 20. And the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land. You're like, oh, no 401k? The bank of whatever little city may be in their wandering way. The Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel. How's that for perspective as it relates to the tithe? In fact, this statement in verse 20 concerning the priests of the Old Testament should be read by us today, and we need to see ourselves in verse 20. The Lord is our portion and our inheritance. And there's a reason why we can say that now, and they couldn't, all of Israel then. And we'll get to that in a moment. But there was a holy call to receive from Israel and then to give to the Lord as an act of worship. Because within the tithe, not only is there this idea that we need to provide for the priesthood, those who minister on our behalf, but the tithe is also an offering of all that we are to God. It is a sign of our allegiance, and it is a sign that we depend upon the Lord for everything. The tithe is closely associated with God's provision of atonement. It's how we say, God, you our Lord. You are our Lord. And so this eternal inheritance is tied directly to the house of God. To the Levites, verse 21, I've given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting. All of Israel is called to bring their first fruits to the one who ministers on their behalf. You see where I'm going? Little hints, tastes of how even now we operate in this way and why. The priests were called to guard and to give according to the call of God. Third point, our primary protector who presents us to the Father. Who is the primary priest? Who is the great high priest, the priest of priests, not within the tribe of Aaron, but Melchizedek himself? He was and is the priest who protected us by guarding us, by bearing our iniquities. You see, one man cannot die for another man and hope to appease the wrath of God. Neither can the blood of rams and goats wash away our sins. But there is one of whom Isaiah speaks in Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. We can enter into that special room, into the very house of God, because all of the filthiness and odiousness of our sins, our very souls, were washed by Christ. Our sins were laid upon him, his righteousness laid upon us, so that we might go in. There is no more guarding necessary. In fact, we are called in the Scriptures to have a spirit of adoption, to think of ourselves as God's children and to cry out to the God the Father, Abba Father. And at any time, in any place, we are welcomed by the Father to enter into. In fact, there is never a time where we are outside of his presence. You have taken up, by Christ's work, permanent residence in the Holy of Holies, as it were, with God. In fact, what God has done is he's made all the camp holy, and he dwells among us. Christ was the priest who guarded us by quieting the wrath of God against us. He makes it safe to enter, to dwell among the Father. And this is not because the Father does not desire our redemption. No, the Father sent the Son because he loves us. In the same way, the Father in the Old Testament sent the priests to the people to guard, to guide, to give. He sent his Son who bore our sins that the wrath of God may be no more against us. And not only that, but he is a priest who brings an offering to the Father. You see, the priests of the Old Testament brought an offering from the people. Christ is one who brings an offering of the people. Those prepositions are important. Christ presents all of the people of God before the Father, but not through a tithe, but as one who has gathered them to himself in his redeeming work, and he presents them to the Father. This is the way Paul speaks of it in Ephesians in two different places. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. You see, the tithe represented God's conquest over sin. The reward, the honor, that which we give to him to show him how good he is. Christ takes us and he gives us to the Father. Ephesians chapter 5. Bear with me because it's about husbands and wives, but the point is clear. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is what God had always intended, that you and I might dwell in his presence, that you and I might call each other now priests, welcome in the presence of God, but not ever without mediation, solely through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so may we even this evening bear greater thanks, understand even more powerfully the work of Christ on our behalf, the one who guards us and the one who gives us to the Father. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you.